BBC News.
Now, books on the BBC and our classic serial set during World War II.
The Heat of the Day, from a novel by Elizabeth Bowen, based on the screenplay by Harold Pinter. Episode 1. Interior. A room, London, 1942. 8 p.m. A man sitting at a table. One lamp is lit over the table. The man, Harrison, is sifting through photographs. The back of his head. His hands. The photographs.
Robert in officer's uniform with fellow officers emerging from a London club. Robert alone on a station platform. Robert alone at a bus stop. Robert and Stella in Regent's Park. Arm in arm.
Hand puts this photograph aside and continues sifting.
Robert in phone box. Robert and Stella hailing a taxi.
Hand puts this one aside.
Robert with two men at a street corner. Robert and Stella lying on the grass, asleep. She in a summer dress. He with open shirt. Stella lying on the grass. Eyes open.
Hand takes single photograph of Stella and pins it onto the wall. Exterior, Regent's Park, 3 p.m. Robert and Stella walking towards trees.
Robert, when can we do what we've said we might do? Go and spend a day at your mother's.
Next time I go, we both might. If you still want to. But on the other hand, why?
Would they not like me?
I don't see why they shouldn't. Except that they never like anybody. However, if you want to see them, if you don't mind there being rather a fuss, what have you in view down there? Research? My case history?
Naturally.
They pass a man sitting on a bench. It is Harrison. Robert and Stella disappear into the trees. Exterior. Wisteria Lodge, a retirement home. 4 p.m., a taxi arriving. Cousin Francis gets out. He wears tweeds.
Mrs. Tringsby!
Yes? Yes? Oh, yes! Do come in.
Mrs. Tringsby, I'm Francis Morris.
Oh, dear, yes, yes. Please, will you come into the drawing room?
Well, is my wife in there?
Oh, no. Oh, dear, no. Nettie likes to be cosy in her room.
She expects me, I guess.
Shh, there are other people. I told her, of course, that you were coming, but whether she remembers... Nettie loves her wool. This is such a quiet house, you see. A true home of rest.
Yes.
Our task is to protect and reassure. She loves her wool. She's so quiet and content. And...
Interior. Country Church, 11 a.m. Stella comes into the church. She wears a dark suit. Mrs. Tringsby is seated with the two steadiest patients of Wisteria Lodge, brought to swell the mourners' thin ranks. Stella carries a bouquet of white chrysanthemums. She sits and looks at the coffin. Sitting alone at the back of the church is Harrison. Exterior, graveyard. The group is turning from the grave and walking towards the road. Mrs. Tringsby shepherds her two elderly ladies. Stella walks alone. A man catches up with Stella.
Mrs. Rodney?
Yes?
My name is Blythe. I am, I was Francis Morris's lawyer.
Ah.
Your son wasn't able to come?
Roderick's in the army.
Oh, yes, quite. Well, when we get to the hotel, I should be obliged if you would give me a few minutes of your time for a private word.
Yes.
Stella looks back and glimpses Harrison stepping crane-like over the graves.
Have you any idea who that man is, by the way?
Not the slightest. Hasn't anyone else?
Apparently not. And he does not correspond with anyone on my list.
Oh, dear. So what do you think he's up to? Perhaps he simply saw the thing in the Times.
But I did not put place or time of the funeral in the Times, in accord with general feeling that it should be strictly private.
But good heavens, whose general feeling? Anyone think Cousin Francis had been hanged?
All this has been very trying for Mrs. Tringsby.
But really, much more trying for Cousin Francis.
Exterior, village, main street. Noon. The group walking along the pavement past empty shop windows. Mrs. Tringsby guides the two elderly ladies, precisely dressed, who walk arm in arm.
These are two of my oldest house guests. I brought them out for a little treat. Now, here we are.
The group enters the hotel. Interior. Hotel. Ladies' cloakroom.
Oh, are you a relation of Mr. Morris?
He was my husband's cousin.
He dropped dead in my house. Can you believe it? We'd hardly been introduced. I mean, he'd only been in the house 5 minutes. Can you imagine?
Mrs. Rodney, might I have that word?
I thought perhaps you should know straight away that in his will, Mr. Morris left all his estate to your son, Roderick. There is an existing trust for his widow, of course, but apart from that, the house in Ireland, land and capital, go to your son.
Gracious.
This is a copy of the will. As he's still under 21, you are, of course, his guardian.
But I can't... Well, they never met. Why do you think that could...
I believe he wanted to leave his estate to a young person, in the hope that he may care in his own way to carry on the old tradition. And they were, of course, cousins.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Interior. Hotel dining room. A table with a simple buffet. Blythe and Stella come into the room. Mrs. Tringsby is helping the elderly ladies fill their plates. Harrison stands alone at the window. Blythe gives Stella a cup of coffee.
Thank you.
Mr. Blythe?
Excuse me, Mrs. Rodney.
Can I get you some port?
They do have port here. Or at least they call it port.
No, thank you.
Well, there's a bar downstairs.
Don't let me stop you.
My name's Harrison. You're Mrs. Rodney. Am I right?
Yes. I'm sorry, but how do you know my name is Rodney?
Well, there's no one else here who could be you, is there? I've heard your praises sung a good deal, you see.
By who?
Your cousin, Frankie.
Oh, you knew him?
Oh, yes, very well. I used to go to see him in Ireland. Great old house. Do you remember it?
I haven't been there for many years.
On your honeymoon, wasn't it? It's to go to your son, I seem to remember.
Yes.
Yes, he told me all about you, old Frankie. Told me you were a widow, had a boy, everything. He was really very fond of you. Used to talk about you a lot.
Did he? If I'd known that, if I'd known he remembered me, I could have gone to see him, taken my son. I didn't know, you see.
Yes, pity. One so often thinks of things too late.
Exterior. Country station. 2:15 p.m. Stella and Harrison walk along the platform.
First smoker.
I'm travelling third.
Oh, come on, let's blow the expense in honour of Frankie. It's on the house anyway.
It's not every day, you know, that one runs into someone one's been wanting to meet for so long. It's quite an event.
What do you do?
What do I do?
Yes.
Government work. Yes, I'd like to meet your son.
Really? Why?
Well, somehow he seems all that's left of old Frankie.
Oh.
I'd like to get to know you both, as a matter of fact, as a family.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. I don't understand your interest in us.
Well, I could explain it. I could explain one aspect of it, if you like. I'll tell you what. When we get to town, why don't I take you home in a taxi and we can have a chat?
Interior, King's Cross Station, 4:30 p.m.
Listen, I'll dash ahead to the rank and grab a taxi. All right? See you there.
Stella turns right out of the platform and goes down the stairs to the underground. Interior, Stella's flat.
Hello, Mrs. Rodney?
Yes?
It's Harrison.
I can't hear you. Speak up.
It's Harrison. I hope you got home safely the other day.
Yes, thank you.
Listen, I would like to come and see you, actually. Have a word. There is something really quite important to talk about. How about...
What do you mean? What do you mean, important?
Well, it's just quite important. 8 o'clock on Sunday?
Exterior. Regent's Park Open Air Theatre. 7:30 p.m. Harrison sitting, thrusting his right fist into his left palm spasmodically. Louis, next to him, wearing an imitation camel hair coat. Vacant seats between them.
Is that number 7 they've just played, or number 8? Can you tell from the programme? Would you like to see my programme?
No, thanks.
Sorry, I spoke.
Have we met?
How do you mean, met?
We don't know each other.
I've never seen you before in my life.
Then that settles it, doesn't it?
Why? Are you someone special? I'll know you from now on anyway. I never forget a face. Do you?
I could, easily.
Interior. Stella's flat. 8 p.m. Stella at the window playing with the blind cord. She looks down into Weymouth Street. She walks to the mantelpiece, looks in the mirror at herself, glances at photographs on the shelf of Robert and Roderick, both in uniform. Exterior, the park. Harrison stands and walks away. Louis stands, joins him.
I've had enough too. Look at all the shadows. Really looks ghostly, doesn't it?
Good night then.
Yes, I'm going home.
Good idea.
Are you?
Am I what?
Going home.
Listen, you'll end up in trouble one of these days. Tacking on like this, there are funny people about. Don't you know that?
I told you, I'm going home.
Well, which way do you live?
Oh, I can go anyway, really.
All right. I go this way, you go that way.
Yes, that's right. Wait a minute.
What?
I don't know your name.
No, you don't.
Interior, the flat. Stella waiting.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I found the downstairs door on the latch. That in order?
I left it open for you.
I shut it. That in order too?
Why don't you shut this one? How did you get my telephone number?
I think I met a man who knew you. Look, are you sure this is a convenient time?
It's not in the least convenient. No time would be convenient. You said you had something important to say to me. What is it?
All your things are so pretty.
He suddenly switches on a lamp. She goes to the windows quickly, lowers the blackout blinds. She turns. He is looking at the photographs on the mantelpiece.
This your son?
Yes.
He then picks up the photograph of Robert.
Yes, this is quite a good likeness.
What do you mean? Do you know him?
I know of him. Know him by sight. We haven't actually met.
By sight?
Yes, I've seen him around, you know. Around, sometimes with you, in fact. I'd seen him with you a number of times before you and I met.
Oh, really?
That's right, yes.
Will you please tell me what it is you've come to say?
You should be a bit more careful who you know.
In general?
In particular.
I am. I didn't want to know you, for example.
Have a cigarette.
She takes one. He lights a match. His hand is shaking. She looks at his hand.
Yes, funny. That doesn't happen very often. Must be being here with you, all on our own.
What do you want?
Well, I'll tell you. I want you to give me a break. That's all. I want you to let me come here, be in and out of here, on and off, all the time. I want to be in your life, as they say. In your life. Except...
He puts the photograph of Robert face down on the shelf.
Less of that. In fact, none of that at all. No more of that.
You're a lunatic.
No. That's simply what I want, you see. That's what I want you to think about. Seriously.
You want me to think about it seriously?
Well, yes, I do. Because if you don't, your friend could be in a lot of trouble. As against that, if you and I could arrange things between us, things might be arranged.
Oh, for Christ's sake, get to the point. What the hell are you talking about?
Your friend's been playing the fool. He is playing the fool, I should say. Look, as you know, he's at the War Office. That's probably all you know, but I know a little more than that. I'll tell you what he does. He gives information to the enemy. The gist of the stuff he handles is getting through to the enemy. This has been satisfactorily verified. He's working for the enemy.
This is silly.
I've been watching him, you see. I keep my eye on him. And the way things are, I could tip the scales either way. The thing could just turn on the stuff I send up, or don't send up. You follow? I'm holding quite a bit of stuff on him I haven't turned in yet. It doesn't have to go in. They don't know it exists. And perhaps you could help me decide. What I'm saying is this. What finally happens to him rather depends on me. Or when I say it rather depends on me, I mean it rather depends on you. Do you see?
Yes, I see.
Oh, you do? Good.
Perfectly. I'm to sleep with you in order that a man be left free to go on selling his country.
That's putting it a bit crudely.
Anyway, none of this matters because we're not talking about the same man. You're crazy. When did you think this up?
You don't believe me?
No.
Why not?
If this story were true, if you are what you say you are, would you tell me of all people knowing I go straight to Robert with the whole thing? What else would you expect?
Well, I'd expect someone like you to be more intelligent. If you warn him, and we know you warn him, he's no more use to us and we pull him in. You see, that's the end of him, so I wouldn't warn him if I were you.
What do you mean we know you warn him? How would you know? I wouldn't tell you.
It would stick out a mile. If you warn him, he'll change his timetable, he'll alter his course, he'll throw a smoke screen. We'd know he'd been tipped the wink and we'd pull him in.
But if I warned him of that... What if I told him not to change his course in any way?
Well, that would take a lot of nerve and some tip-top acting.
How much of an actor is he? That's the question.
Actor? What do you mean? He's never acted with me.
No, I suppose not.
No.
Well, yes. If a man were able to act being in love, he'd be enough of an actor to get away with anything. Wouldn't he? Anyway, coming back to where we were, my only point is, if you warned him, you'd sink him.
Give me another cigarette.
He does so, and lights it.
Your hand is still shaking. So you're a counter-spy, are you? A key man. And you're on the track of a man working for the enemy, and your employers trust you, don't they? What would your employers say, I wonder, if they knew what you were up to? If they knew that by becoming your mistress, I can buy out a man who you say is a traitor to his country, what view would they take of that? Why shouldn't I report you? You would be sorry, you say, if I sank Robert. How would it be if I sank you?
You could. Absolutely, you could sink me, but it all comes back to the same old thing. If you sink me, you sink him.
Stella turns and picks Robert's photograph up so that it faces the room.
How dare you touch this photograph? How dare you? Hello. Oh, Roderick, where are you? Wonderful. Yes, of course. Have you eaten? No, there's nothing. Oh, right, yes, as soon as you can. That was my son. He's on leave. He's on his way around here.
Oh, that's nice for you. Look, there's no hurry about all of this. Take a bit of time to think it over.
You seriously expect me to...
Oh, you might as well think it over. And if it suited you, I might drop in from time to time. Who knows? I might grow on you.
Exterior, Weymouth Street. Roderick walks down the street with kit bag. He turns the corner. A figure under a lamppost lights a cigarette. Harrison. Interior, Stella's flat.
Can I have a bath?
Yes, go on while I make coffee.
Any cake?
Biscuits, are you starving?
Well, no. I found a pub that had pork pies. Robert won't mind if I wear his dressing gown, will he?
Yeah, of course not.
I think I've got a corn.
Oh, I wish there was something for you to eat. There's only three biscuits. Does it hurt?
Absolutely excruciating.
I got a plaster.
No, really. I want to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
In Ireland, at the house, my house, there's a river.
Yes.
Is there a boat?
A boat?
Don't you know?
Well, I haven't been there for 20 years, but I remember a river.
I can picture it. I can see it in my mind's eye. When we go, I'll row you down the river, shall I?
If there's a boat.
Oh, there must be.
Roderick suddenly glances at the cigarette ends in an ashtray.
Someone been here?
What?
Someone's been here.
Yes, a man called Harrison.
Who's he?
No one, a bore. Oh, dear.
Handkerchief.
He puts his hand into the pocket of the gown, brings out a piece of folded notepaper. He looks at it.
Yeah, put it back.
What?
Put that piece of paper back into the pocket. It's not yours. Just put it back.
Oh, well, why don't you take it? It might fall out again.
It didn't fall out this time.
But it might next time, and you know.
You know what?
Well, it might be important. Top secret or something. Isn't what Robert's doing important? Cake! And it isn't yours either. Oh, shall we have a peep? See what it says, just for fun?
No.
Oh, why not?
It might be a letter from another woman.
No, I wouldn't think so. Look, don't you think it would be best if I just put it back into the pocket? After all, as you said, it's Robert's thing, and it's his pocket.
Nothing.
Interior. Train compartment. 2:30 p.m. Stella looking out of the window. She turns quickly, smiles. Robert sitting opposite her. He smiles.
What did you tell them?
I told them you were someone working in a government office and that you liked country hikes.
Country hikes? But look at these shoes.
I like them.
Well, they're hardly shoes for a hike.
They're fine. Really. Anyway, it hardly matters.
You mean we don't have to go for a hike?
No, no. We're free. Quite free. They're harmless, honestly. Anyway, I'll protect you if Mother tries to bite you.
Will you?
Exterior. Wisteria Lodge, 3:35 p.m.
Good afternoon.
I am Mrs. Tringsby. You're not Roderick, are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, dear. I'd expected you to be rather older and not quite so early. However, do by all means come into the drawing room.
Is my cousin in there?
Oh, no. Oh, dear, no. Nettie likes to be cosy in her room. She knows she's going to have a treat of some kind today, but you may find she's forgotten what.
Then can I go up?
I should like one word with you first, if you don't mind. We're not making difficulties, but please remember what happened last time.
Last time?
Last time she had a visitor. It was such a dreadful shock to us all.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. In fact, I'm sure Cousin Francis would want me to apologise.
He should never have come.
Does Cousin Nettie know he's dead?
The drawing room will never feel quite the same to me again.
Oh, that sort of thing doesn't happen twice. And the army could tell you that I'm as sound as a bell.
Yes, that's another thing. I mean, you're coming down here in uniform. We're so careful here not to have dreadful thoughts. You won't on any account talk to Mrs. Morris about the war, will you? Just a light chat. And never, of course, mention the past.
I want to talk about the future.
Exterior, Holmdene, evergreens, lawns leading to the house. Robert and Stella walk up the drive. Robert walks with a limp. His sister, Ernestine, suddenly appears around a bush. She is in WVS uniform.
Oh!
Hello, Annie.
What did you do with the taxi?
We walked from the road.
Oh, of course. You've come down to walk, haven't you?
Ernestine, Mrs. Rodney.
Muttykins is in the lounge, waiting for the sound of the taxi. We were only saying this morning that it took being shot in the leg to make Robert walk. See you both at tea.
What was she laughing at?
Oh, just laughing. Muttykins is my mother. That's what we call her.
Interior, the house, lounge. Mrs. Kelway with knitting. Robert and Stella come in. She stands. Robert bends to his mother. They kiss.
Robert.
Muttykins, this is Mrs. Rodney.
Mrs. Rodney.
How do you do?
But what became of the taxi?
We walked up the drive.
Ernestine was listening for it. Did she miss you?
No. We ran into her. A little de trac, eh?
Well, it is Saturday afternoon. If I hadn't seen you walking up the drive, I should have wondered if you hadn't missed the train.
Mrs. Rodney likes to walk in the country.
It's so nice to be out of London.
I've hardly been up to London since the war began. I've always understood that we're asked not to travel without a good reason. I'm quite content to sit here and knit. My grandson is in the army, Ernestine's boy.
So is my son.
Roderick.
What do you mean by Roderick?
Roderick is Mrs. Rodney's son.
Oh.
A breath of air.
Tea will be coming in.
A stroll before tea.
Robert and Stella stroll across the lawn.
She's not really rude. More unconscious. Or don't you agree?
Well, principally, darling, she struck me as being wicked, but you might not see that.
I see it constantly.
In London, you said you'd make a fuss. I didn't see any signs of that so far.
No, what I said was that they would make a fuss. So far, you've been seeing them one by one. and neither my mother nor Ernestine can make a fuss singly. As a matter of fact, my mother did make a demonstration. She told you a good deal about herself.
Is that not usual?
Well, how can I say? Really? Almost no strangers come here, and Ernie and I and the children know it all.
So chiefly, I was a stranger?
Yes, you were largely that.
But where are the children?
Saturday afternoon. We ought to see them at tea.
Interior. Nettie's room.
She may not know who you are.
I relied on you to tell her.
Oh, I told her, but here we are. Hello. Here I am.
I was expecting Victor Rodney's son. Has he not come?
He's standing outside the door, my dear.
Well, why doesn't he come in?
Cousin Nettie.
I shall be just downstairs. Just downstairs.
Thank you, Mrs. Stringsby.
Nettie continues with her needlework. Roderick watches her.
I expect you would never have the patience to do this.
No, I expect not.
But you must have patience. To have come such a long journey. Such a long way to here.
Oh, not so very long. Not from where I came from.
I thought it was too far for anybody to come. So, you remembered me, even though you never met me. Are you called Victor too?
No, Roderick.
Then I shall call you Roderick. So glad you're not called Victor.
I shall call my son, whenever I have one, Francis.
Oh, he would be so pleased. What a pity he's dead.
It's because he's dead that I've come. I hope my coming doesn't upset you.
I hope I shan't upset you. I believe I am very odd. And you must not tell me I'm not, or I shall begin to wonder.
Interior. Holmdean. The lounge. Mrs. Kelway, Robert, Stella, Peter, age 9, and Anne, age 7, sitting at a mahogany table. Silence. Stella turns and looks out of the window to see Ernestine running towards the house. She rushes into the room.
Oh, dear, I'm late. Is the bread cut yet? No, just in time.
Mrs. Rodney and I forgot to bring our own butter.
I don't often eat tea, actually.
Well, I suppose I could lend you some of my butter. But really, I don't think it would stand up in court.
Look at all that jam. Do you always do that? I mean, do you always use so much jam in London?
Oh, sure. Get it on the black market.
You might end up in prison.
Well, you'll have to come and visit me in my cell, won't you?
I don't want to.
Oh, we should be having tears in a minute.
If it's not too much trouble, Granny would like some bread.
Oh, Muttykins. Did I give you any?
What do those letters on your armlet stand for?
It's top secret.
Did I see you wearing your armlet outside the gate?
We kept undercover.
Undercover or not, this is a serious war. You have to obey orders. Now, ask Mrs. Rodney if she would like some more tea. If she says yes, pass her cup and don't drop the spoon.
Would you...
Mrs. Rodney doesn't care for afternoon tea.
Oh, I do drink quite a lot of tea in the office.
We now drink tea only once a day, otherwise we might not have enough for guests. If it weren't for the children, I should be tempted to do without tea altogether. I mean, drum it out of the house. Mind you, it can become extraordinarily cold here. The fuel shortage. And so one does benefit from a hot beverage. My daughter doesn't feel the cold. She moves about so much, she seldom takes her hat off. Robert tells me that in London you wouldn't notice the war. That's far from the case here, I can assure you. But I'm glad Robert is enjoying a period of calm. He went through so much. So much. More than we care to speak of.
Mum's the word here. Isn't that so, children?
Cake?
No, thanks.
Why not? Do you think it will make you fat?
Mrs. Rodney is free not to eat cake if she doesn't want to. That's the difference between England and Germany.
The Nazis would force her to eat cake.
Come and see the house, Stella.
Isn't it time for your walk?
House first.
There's nothing to see in the house. Honestly. What a waste of a fine afternoon.
Mrs. Rodney is interested in interior decoration.
I'm afraid we have nothing of that sort here.
Then I shall show her my photographs.
Won't Mrs. Rodney think you're very vain?
Can we come too?
No. Go outside, I'll see you from the window.
The house is up for sale anyway, it's too big.
You should warn Mrs. Rodney that the better rooms are all shut up because of the war.
Interior. Nettie's room.
Do you know Cousin Francis left Mount Morris to me?
Mount Morris. Oh, poor, unfortunate house, poor thing. So, there it is. After all this time. And here I am.
I wanted to ask.
No, you must not ask me. No, I cannot come back. I told him again and again, and I told them, now I'm telling you. Everywhere is better without me. I cannot come back. Oh, I wish you could have seen him when he was a young man. Head and shoulders above the rest of them. And there could have been when he was a story. There could. But there wasn't. And in the end, he had to go out looking for a son.
I was wondering if you'd have a photograph of Mount Morris.
Oh, no, they're so dark-looking. And why should I want a picture of anything I've seen? I know I had a photograph of Victor. He was just a schoolboy, but he sent it himself. So I'm sure I would have put it away somewhere. Wherever could that have been? Oh, what a pity. Because you never saw him at that age.
At any age. I never knew my father. Did you know him well?
Oh, yes. Victor, I thought everybody knew that. I was the last to see him. We both had tea in a shop.
What, before he died?
Not died, exactly. Before he left your mother.
Oh, no, Cousin Nettie, I'm afraid she left him.
But she couldn't leave someone who wasn't there.
Not where? My father? Where do you mean he was?
Unfortunately, I cannot remember where his nurse lived. She had her own little house. He said it was very nice.
His old nurse?
Well, she may have been older than Victor, possibly. She'd been the one who'd nursed him during the war. That was why he asked me to have tea in the shop. I cannot hope to explain what I'm doing to anybody, he said, so I thought I would like to talk about it to you. I said, because I am as odd as what you're doing. And he said, that must be what it amounts to. I said, well, Victor, they will think us both very odd now.
Interior. Home Dean.
Don't think you're making a bad impression. I assure you, you're making no impression at all.
Interior. Robert's room. Robert and Stella come into the room. A varsity chair, padded, a swivel lamp, glass cases of coins, birds' eggs, fossils, butterflies. Trophies in a pyramid over the chimneypiece. On two walls, in passepartout or in frames, 60 or 70 photographs, all featuring Robert at various ages. Stella looks at the photographs and laughs.
Good gracious! Did you hang all these up?
No. But, as you see, I haven't taken them down. My mother and Ernie put them there.
They really must be very fond of you.
Oh, no, it's not that. They expect me to be very fond of myself.
But are you? I don't think you are. Oh, is this your father?
Yes.
Very odd. The room feels empty.
Yes. It is. Each time I come into it, I'm hit in the face by the feeling that I don't exist. Or that I never have existed. So, it's extraordinary coming in here with you. Gives me a kind of vertigo. I can't explain it.
But there is your existence.
That's not my existence. That's my criminal record. A senseless criminal record. Don't you think? I know it by heart. A naked baby, smirking over that tournament cup. In shorts on top of a rock with Thompson. An usher at Amabel's wedding, larking about with Ernie's Labrador.
playing cricket with Dad. God. Can you think of a better way of driving a man mad than nailing that pack of his own lies all around the room where he has to sleep?
Then why don't you take them down?
They would hate that.
Ah, socks. Beautifully preserved. What was your father like?
He was like Ernie's Labrador. Ernie's Labrador died halfway through Munich week. He was very sensitive. So was my father. In all but one sense, he was impotent. He let himself be buckled into his marriage like Ernie's Labrador let himself be buckled into his collar. My father's death was a great relief. To me, that is. And probably to him.
The children march into view, performing military exercises. Anne halts abruptly, on a huge intake of breath, jaw set, arms tightly by her sides. Her face reddens.
Don't hold your breath for too long!
Anne opens her mouth, exhales, and collapses on the lawn. Yes, indeed. Why?
I thought you'd gone on your walk. Until I heard the children shouting. Thank goodness I caught you. Muttykins has a parcel for you to post in London.
What's the matter with the post office here?
Nothing. It's closed on Sunday, and in London they're open.
Are they?
Well, some are.
I'd love to post the parcel.
But it can wait until we're actually leaving, can't it?
Ah, well, you see, A, there's almost always a rush at the last moment, and B, I may have to dash off myself soon. But the point is this, that there's been a complication. Nobody can find the little half-ounce weight off the weighing machine. Literally nobody. Muttykins is far from sure that she may not have understamped the parcel. So the plan is this. She will leave 3 pennies with the parcel, just in case, on the oak chest in front of the stairs. If you find the parcel is not, repeat, not understamped, you can give her back the pennies the next time you're here. Is that clear? Shall I get the children to remind you?
No, it's clear.
How do you like our gallery?
It's quite a...
Robert has always photographed well. Crooked again. Did Robert tell you that this is our sister, Amabel, the children's mother, caught in India for the duration? And this is our father. Oh, he used to radiate such energy and fun. In some ways, Robert takes after him. And that, poor fellow, was my dog.
Yes, so Robert said.
He had such faith in human nature. I often think that if Hitler could have looked into that dog's eyes, the story might have been very different. Hark! There goes the telephone! Someone's after me!
Interior. Nettie's room.
You have a sandwich.
Thank you, Cousin Nettie. But what about my father and his nurse?
Oh, that was not nearly enough. She'd been his nurse already, but he wanted her this time to be his wife.
But there was my mother.
I know. No wonder he felt he was doing something odd.
So then that was the reason they were divorced, I suppose.
I'm afraid I don't understand what happened after that. Nobody ever told me, I don't think. And as nobody ever asked me either, I did not tell them.
You can't remember anything more my father said.
He said what he was doing was for the best.
He said to you what he was doing was for the best?
Oh, yes. All my cousins make decisions. I expect as you are my cousin, you make decisions.
Well, just now I'm in the army.
But you decided to come and see me.
Because what I have decided is to live at Mount Morris. I wanted first to be certain you would not mind.
Well, that was why Victor asked me to have tea in the shop.
I never knew what you just told me. So then it was my father who asked my mother if you might go. I always thought it was the other way round. At least that seemed to be what everyone thought. I must say, if they did, they didn't say so. Nobody has ever said anything to me at all. Least of all her. Not that I suppose by this time anyone cares. Unless she does. If I had even wondered, I could have asked. Of course, what one takes for granted, one leaves alone. In a way, perhaps my mother is rather shy.
Or perhaps it hurt her feelings.
It may have had an influence on her life.
It was after tea in the shop that I got so much odder. And also poor Victor died. So I shouldn't wonder if nobody knew. It was strange.
But what about the nurse?
I'm afraid she was a little common.
Yes, but is she alive?
I don't know who is alive.
I'm not asking you to come back. All I'm saying is I shall consider the house as much yours as mine.
Day after day, if my Morris was sinking further down a well, it became too much for me. But how could I say so? I could not help seeing what was the matter. What he wanted me to be was his wife. I tried this, that, and the other, till the result was that I fell into such a terrible melancholy that I only had to think of anything for it to go wrong. Nature hated us. Once the fields noticed me with him, the harvest began to fail. So I took to going nowhere but up and down the stairs, till I met my own ghost.
Exterior, London Street, 7:30 p.m. Stella walking through deserted streets with parcel. Occasional figures in doorways, lovers blotted together. She crosses Langham Place into Weymouth Street. She walks towards her house, falters, stops, peers into the dark. A match is struck. Sheltered. Thrown away.
Been waiting long?
I thought you'd be back about now. I'd rather like a word, if I may.
The door closes. Darkness. She climbs the stairs. A torch follows her, lights her path. When they reach the door to her flat, the beam plays on her fingers as she unlocks the door. They go in. Stella draws the blackout blinds, pulls the curtains, switches on lamps and the electric fire.
Nice to be here again. You know, I really feel at home.
In that case, I'll change my shoes. I've been in the country, as you probably know.
Making the most of the last of the fine weather?
What do you mean by that?
Were you making the most of the last of the fine weather?
Stella leans back, puts her feet up on a stool.
You seem more relaxed tonight.
I'm extremely tired.
Must have been quite a day. How did it go?
How did what go?
Look, you don't have to talk if you don't want to. I'll be quite happy just sitting here.
Why? Is this your evening off?
I don't quite...
Is this business or pleasure? Why don't you tell me what else I've been doing?
Well, one thing I know you've been doing, Stella. You've been thinking things over.
Have I?
Yes, you've thought things over. Today, you did exactly what I should have done. You went to look at the first place where rot could start. The home hearth. And I wonder what you found. I wouldn't dream of asking you, of course.
I haven't said anything to him about everything.
Oh, I know that. He hasn't changed his habits, you see. He's doing the same things. The only change is you. You're not as natural on the telephone at nights as you used to be. Anyone would think you thought his line was being tapped.
So that's what you do in the evenings.
And how have you got on with your other checkup on me?
I haven't got very far.
The thing is, not all that many people know who I am. What's this?
It's a parcel. For posting. I should have taken it to the post office. I was too tired.
Would you like me to post it for you?
Would you? Oh, thank you. That would be one thing less.
Leave it to me.
Stella lies back.
The first time I saw you, you were lying quite like this, on the grass in Regent's Park. Your eyes were closed. Then you opened your eyes and you looked up at the sky. You didn't know I was watching every move you made.
And was that when you...
Yes. That's when. And then it got worse. And then I met you at the funeral, and it was even worse. And now it's hell.
Hell?
Yes. It's hell. We're getting nowhere.
Oh, you mean I'm wasting your time? What a joke. You come round and waste my time by telling me I'm wasting yours. What the hell do you expect from me? Sympathy?
You know, I feel that we're getting to know each other. We're not so unlike underneath.
You're right. You're horribly alike. You've succeeded in making a spy of me.
Harrison stands abruptly, goes to the window, opens the curtains and goes through them. The curtains swing into place behind him. A breath of wind. Stella goes to the curtains, holds them aside. Light flashes on the pane.
Mind, either come through or go back.
They stand together in the alcove, in the dark.
What are you doing?
It's raining. It's not going to stop.
Have you... far to go?
It depends where I go.
Where do you live?
Oh, there are always two or three places where I can turn in.
Where do you keep your razor?
I've got more than one razor. Oh, that air's good. I needed a breath of air.
Breathe it. As long as you like.
Stay with me. You breathe too. I can feel you breathing.
I'm tired.
Leave your puzzle to me. I'll deal with it.
Listen, if I wanted to find you, how would I find you?
Don't worry about finding me. I'll be in touch.
Exterior, Regent's Park, 3 p.m.
To unload the past on a boy like that, fantastic. And now you mix yourself up in it. No, it's too silly, Stella.
I thought you thought Roderick's legacy was a good thing.
Roderick's inheritance.
Sorry, Roderick's inheritance.
Anything's better than nothing. What I cannot see is why you should have to go there.
It's for a few days, that's all.
It's not how long you're going to be away, it's how much away you're going to be. There, you'll be away completely.
Nonsense, darling.
Of course, what I don't like is you going away at all.
I don't want to go back there. In fact, I dread it.
I'm not so sure.
Well, I do. This journey is business. It's not a matter of feeling.
But you say you dread it. Isn't dread a feeling? If it meant nothing to you, I shouldn't so much mind.
I'd no idea you're going to feel like this, because what does it amount to? Simply a business journey. Roderick's Mount Morris affairs. You know how they've been worrying me lately. All those letters from or about that place, asking for decisions I can't make because I can't grasp from this distance exactly what they're about or what they entail. The roof, the farm, the extra planting, the cutting of trees. Heaven knows, I wish Roderick were free enough and old enough to cope. Somebody's got to get over there. He can't. I must. Really, Robert, I've been through more than enough convincing the passport office that this is urgent. Do I have to go through it all over again with you? They were perfectly satisfied.
The passport office is not in love with you.
Weeks ago you agreed I'd have to go.
Did I? Yes, I suppose I did.
Has anything changed since then?
Changed? No. Nothing's changed.
Robert takes Stella's face in his hands and kisses her.
What will you do while you're away? Will you keep loving me?
I'll keep loving you.
Interior. Harrison's room, 8 p.m. Photographs of Stella on the wall. One lamp. Cigarette smoke. A photograph of Robert kissing Stella in the park. In episode one of The Heat of the Day, the screenwriter was played by Henry Goodman, Stella, Anna Chancellor, Harrison, Matthew Marsh, Robert, Tom Goodman Hill, and Louis, Teresa Gallagher. Roderick was Daniel Wayman, Ernestine, Honeysuckle Weeks, Mrs. Kelway, Tina Gray, Cousin Francis, Nigel Anthony, Peter, Ben Baker, and Nettie, Gemma Jones. Other parts were played by members of the company. The Heat of the Day by Elizabeth Byrne was adapted for radio by Tristram Powell and Honor Borick, from the screenplay by Harold Pinter. It was directed by Tristram Powell and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 4.
And you can hear the concluding episode of The Heat of the Day next week at the same time.
Just behind a battered door lies a secret.
It's still here.
A weekend of programmes from the dark side.
Horror. Naked, unrestrained horror.
Where creatures of the day...
Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
...meet creatures of the night.
Welcome, Count Dracula.
His face. Didn't you see his face?
The Gothic Weekend.
The room seemed to grow darker and darker.
Continues later on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
This tale will have a happy ending yet.